Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It's the BKN Newsroom, y'all. Welcome to the, I think this is the 844th or 45th episode. Wow.
Put that 9 on there.
Give it to me. What?
That 9.
849?
The 9, yeah, 945.
Did I say 8? Oh, I'm sorry.
Y'all know. 900.
We was just checking, y'all. 945. Do y'all hear that? We 5 away from 950, which is halfway there to 1,000. So mark your calendars, get it ready. We gonna hit it. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me regroup.
Nice.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the PKN Newsroom. This is the 945th episode on the Purpose Kingdom Network. I am Adrian Misunderstandings Allen, and alongside with me tonight, I got Brother Papa Hudson. Oh, I should say, what's your name? Brother Robert Papa Hudson. Robert and Papa. You just always pop up. You know, have you got more kids lately? You had any more?
No, me and my wife not having any more, but I'm gonna tell you like this. Our children are populating the world, so that's all I have to say.
Amen. I think that's what the word says, right? That's what it's about. How about if you're doing it right now, it's a blessing. I mean, having babies, like, y'all, Lord, what we will say tonight is this is the PKN Newsroom, but we're going to do it a little bit different tonight because guess what we not going to do? We not going to talk about whatever they doing over there. And y'all know what I'm talking about over there. What we will do is pray for him and everybody else that's up in that building. Because everybody else up in that building needs prayer right now. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do it a little bit different. And we are just going to celebrate our news. We're going to give us good news. Everything's going to be good news. We're going to have good news, and more good news. Why? Because everything that is going on is either sitting well with us or not sitting well with us. But somewhere down the line, it is good news. Because God wrote this thing out already. Don't forget. If you're listening somewhere, if you're listening on any social media network and you would like to join us live on the air, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. If you would like to join in or comment or give a shout out, the number, well, I need you to press 1 so you can cue Robert, and then we can put you on and we can get you in there. So tonight, because it is June of 2019, you know, in June, the high schools graduate. High schools are done. So I don't want to say not jealous because I graduated too long time ago. But, I'm very, very happy because I am glad to report that my son has finally graduated from high school.
Yeah.
The crowd goes wild. Shout out, Chris. Shout out to Abington High School for being the place that it happened. I did it too there. And there's going to be a lot of other things that happen there too. You mark my words. But shout out to all that graduated. I invited them to call in, Rob. So let's see.
Okay.
If the graduates decide to take a little bit of time out, you know, because they grown now, they think that they grown, and you know, they make their own decisions, kind of trying to be like, you know, still kind of treading on it a little bit, but want to stay where they're going, and not can I go? You know, it's weird. I mean, I'm new to this thing, brother. Brother Rob, you got to help me out because I'm new to this.
No. I'm gonna help you out right now, and this is what we're gonna do right now. And even though I know you said it was a long, long, long time ago, I'm thinking in your mind it's not a long, long, long time ago, because sometimes when, especially when our children, they graduate, we remember that place and time. And we remember, you know, where we're at, what we're doing. And I just want to ask you, I'm going to put you in the spot right now. When you was at that point in time, what was you doing and how did you celebrate your graduation, Sister Asia?
Oh, wow. Let's see. In 1995, it was a good year, y'all. It was a good year. But you got to remember, I didn't do anything. I didn't celebrate. I didn't know anything about anything. I was a kid that, you know, I was a show tune kid. I was a band kid, believe it or not. So all of the crazy and stuff that you hear and see, that was actually when I left out and went on my journey. And when I started my journey, but I'm glad that I started my journey because I found out a lot on my journey about a whole lot of stuff. But my 12th grade year, I probably was listening to the Brat so funkified, and it was like everything. We had graduated and it was so funkified. It was just, that was it. I remember that. It's 95.
Okay.
Somebody said, I just lost like 10 cool points from somebody. It's like, what?
No, you didn't. We got like 20 listeners now that just joined in by you just saying that. But let me just.
Well, welcome,
you know,
welcome to the Purpose Kingdom Newsroom. Tonight we celebrating our graduates. That's what we doing, our accomplishment. Because that's
so
what it is.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so now.
Okay.
Every graduation, we do think that we have a rite of passage. So what was the rite of passage at your time? We had your rite of passage that, you know, okay, so now you graduated. So now this is like some kind of a situation where as though you're saying, hey, listen, I have to deal with no more of the, you know, the logical, you know, BS or anything like that. But this is the time where I can just celebrate my freedom and I can do what I really wanted to do. So what did you do that you really wanted to do?
Okay, well, I'll put it this way. When I graduated in 95, I was 17. So
okay.
Remember, you had to be 18 to do what it is you're asking. Most people get an opportunity to be 18 and already be ready to graduate. So I was 17 when I graduated, but I was in the band, y'all, at Delaware State University. So I had to be report to band camp August 18th, which, if you didn't know now, you know it's the day before my 18th birthday. So let's just say I turned 18 in college. So to answer that question completely, what I would tell you is it was just liberating because I really felt like I was like, couldn't do it. But what I will say that I did, I got my tattoo. I was like excited about the tattoo. So I got the tattoo.
Wow.
That was probably one of the silliest things that I ever did because I don't think I realized my tattoo until after like 2001 when my son was old enough to actually see it and he said, Mommy, what's that?
Wow.
And I looked down and remembered that I had it like, oh God, I should never did this. But I did. I wanted to be. That was my thing, because I would see tattoos, and my mom would always say, you gotta wait till you 18 to do that." So I couldn't wait till I was 18 to do it. Oh, that's horrible. I mean, but that's the truth. And that means, Christopher, if you're out there and you're listening, do not just go and get you a tattoo because I've just seen it bad. Say, give it. I will, Mom, I heard you say it on the radio. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, y'all help me. If you come home with a tattoo, it better say my name on it. That's all I'm going to say. It better say my name.
Look, let me just tell you, Sister Adrian, I'm just pleased that that's the choice you made, and the choice you like even right now, even though you're living with it. And one of the things, there's some things that we do that we can't take back. But one of the things that you can actually reflect on and look on and say, hey, listen, this is what I did. This is the choice I made. And even though I'm a young adult, and this is the only choice I made, and you look back and you say, hey, this is not as bad as other choices that people have made. And that's when we actually have to understand that we're very fortunate to be in this, in this day and time, in this age right now, where we have so many people that are not fortunate enough, whereas though when they made their rite of passage and they say, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, now you're talking about people that are saying, hey, if I want to, create my rite of passage, I have to kill someone, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to, declare myself as a tattoo on my eye and stuff like that. Whereas though, the choices that you made, and you look at them now, it seems so drastic. And that's why I wanted to take you back to that time, because right now, in this time, in this day and age, now that we're looking at things, it's like the everything that we weigh and scale ourselves on is much higher. The price to pay for what we do is much more drastic. It's closer to life and death than what we see. And it seems like the choices that we made back in the day, it seems like they're so insignificant. And, back in, my time, when I graduated, the risky thing I did.
Tell us when now. Tell us when.
I'm going to tell the truth. Was I kissed a girl named Gwendolyn that nobody liked, and they said, hey, listen. They said, you're the guy, and, we think that, the best way to make her day is the Valley Victorian. And if you kiss her in front of everybody, it will make her day. It will make her life. And I did.
Did you say you were the valid Victorian?
Well, I don't know what the. You know what? I didn't even care about the.
I know y'all heard it with me. Don't act like y'all did not hear. He tried to slip it in there. He tried slipping in there like he did all the afternoon speeches. He did all. Go on, tell the story now. Tell the story.
Okay, I'll tell the story. Now, I had a teacher who was telling me, like, look, listen, you already lettered in sports. You did this, and you're the class, president. And they were saying, all you had to do is do this and do that, and I did it. And they were saying, okay, now, so you got the highest honors now, all you got to do is maintain it. And maintaining it was kind of hard because I really wanted to not have this. I was trying to give it away. I was trying to screw it up, basically. And it was one of those things where, I was going along and I was trying to self-destruct. But it was so many good people around me that would not allow me to do that. And they would remind me, oh, you can't say this. You can't do that. But when we got to, to the prom, man, we got to, to the dance, and, I was dancing with my girlfriend, and everybody was telling me, like, hey, listen, Gwendolyn is here. And, they were telling me, like, she really likes you. And they was like, basically, you really don't have to do much but just dance with her. And they was like, I don't want to dance with her. So dance was almost over. And basically, my girlfriend said to me, she says, can you just give her a kiss? And I said, for what? And then my friends were there, and it was like, hey, this would make her day. Just give her a kiss. And she says, listen, I'm your girlfriend. I know it wouldn't mean anything. Just give her a kiss. And I gave her a kiss. And, you know, when I gave her a kiss, it was just a regular kiss, just a real kiss. And, you know, everybody, you know, was like, oh, wow, you know. And all of a sudden, it was just like, you know, nobody said to me, came up to me and said, wow, you did a good thing for her. But they was like, wow, you got a kiss from him? And they was like, you know, basically asking her, what did you do? Or how, you know, and basically it was just me just giving someone a kiss. And it's, you know, and I realized that the same way I gave her a kiss was the same way if I gave somebody that was in need of a dollar, or someone says, hey, it's cold out here, I want a dollar for a soup, or can you buy me a soup or anything like that. It was the same thing. It was the same effect. But when I realized, no matter which how you symbolize things, sometimes if you open your mind, and like I said, everybody was telling me, she just wants a kiss. She just wants this. She just wants, you know, a dance. I denied the dance because my thing was, I'm here with my girlfriend. But sometimes it's no matter who you dare and who you're with, and sometimes when somebody is in need of something, you know, that you can provide, you know, okay, and the dance I understood because I wanted that special moment with my girlfriend. I had that special moment. And so there was another moment that I could give to somebody else, and I gave it. You know, and I don't know if it sounds corny or not, but, you know, I didn't kiss her to turn her into a princess or anything. I gave her a kiss. Because that was, you know, the moment that she felt in her life, you know, that would make her life or whatever, or make her day. And sometimes
I wish she was listening right now, and that way she could press one and tell us how much of her life, how much of her
actually,
life does she remember the kiss from Robert?
Actually, I've saw her before, or after, you know, the kiss, and she did tell me that it did give her a confidence boost. It did give her a chance, you know, to, you know, understand that she was seen, that people recognize her, but also let her know that, you know, right after I did give her a kiss, you know, I went back, you know, to my girlfriend at the time, and I told her thank you, because I told her, I said, I didn't understand or I didn't think that you would ever want me to spend my attention to another woman. And she told me point blank that if another woman didn't want me, I wouldn't want you anyway, which also opened my eyes, you know, later on, you know, but,
Lord,
you know, yes, yes. And,
oh my,
you know,
God.
Yes, it opened my eyes. And, you know, when I, you know, in that relationship, when I became, you know, happy and complicit, and it seems like when, you know, I didn't let myself go, but it was just that I was just a regular guy and she wanted to move on, you know, but it also, you know, gave me that warning shot that, hey, listen, you know, even though, you know, we're chasing and pursuing someone, you know, if we
can't
don't stop,
be complacent.
That's right.
Right. We can't be complacent because guess what? You never know who's behind you and who's trying to chase you. And if we
live
together, then maybe, you know, we can make something good about that.
Right. How about that? And every graduate that's out there that's listening or somebody that's connected to a graduate, you got to remember every useful thing that you learned along the way. And when I say that, I mean every useful thing. You might have not have thought that it was useful at the time, but later on in life when you see different things, you'll remember certain things from the last year of graduation, or, you know, or something that you learned that summer before you went to college. I mean, the best thing I can say is, you know, school's not for everyone, but when you get there, remember that your credits are your priority. You want to pass. You got to pass your classes. You know, if you pass your classes the first time, you'll be fine. If you party, party responsibly at all times, and build relationships that, you know, that will last you a lifetime.
Yes.
That's what I would say. If, like, you know what I mean? Like, for people that I come in contact with that are moving on, they're going to college or whatever the case may be, moving out of the house, however, you know, getting that place in their moment where they can say they're standing for the first time. You know, it's funny because as much as you want to be independent and be on your own, like, it kind of sucks because then you got to learn how to get up. You got to learn how to be on time. You don't have nobody screaming at you, telling you to get up. You know, nobody is helping you push you all along the way. And, you know, it works, guys. It works. It helps you. It helps you for life. It helps you at 40. It helps you at 50. It helps you at 60 and 70 years old. Trust me. You know, I kind of laugh at it because I go to church really early in the morning. And it's almost like having to get up to go to work. But you know how if you got to go to work, you kind of got to go to work. So you get up anyway, even though you're tired. You know you're tired because it's early. It's supposed to be early, and you know you're supposed to be tired. But you still got to get up because you got to get up. Because you have a job to do, like, you have to report to it. Like, that's just a part of life, you know. And you want to always have something to report to. That way you don't, the word was complacent. You know, Brother Rob said it. Sometimes we get complacent, especially in good relationships. Good relationships are the ones where you get very, very complacent. But then you got to look at it and think, you know, the best relationship, I'm finding out now later in life, but the best relationship that I have is with the Lord, is with my Savior, is with God. You know, like, he's the friend that when everyone else was not there, or when people are not available, you know, he's always there. You might not realize it, but, like, I learned a while ago that he's the friend that you need, you know, in order to help you not be complacent, but be able to stay and wait exactly right where you are. You know, it's weird because it says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint.
That's
wait
right.
On the Lord, right? So then you look back at life and you say, what's the worst time in your life? What was the hardest thing that you ever had to do? What we, you know, like, it would be in between this one and that one, in between one opportunity to the next. You know how they say when one door closes, the other one opens?
Mm-hmm.
Well, life says that it doesn't really happen just like that. You know what I mean? One door doesn't open. One door doesn't shut, and then the other one just opens automatically. Sometimes the door shuts, and there's no door open. So you kind of got to, like, learn how to wait in the hallway. You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of waiting for the next door to open. But while you're in the hallway, the question is, like, what are you doing in the hallway? Are you sitting in the hallway? Are you walking up and down the hallway to see where the door is going to open? Are you sitting in front of one door just waiting for this door to open? You know, there's a lot of different ways. Like, I always see people, like, people don't like to wait in line. People don't like to be in traffic. People don't like to, you know, people don't like to wait for someone else to finish a conversation. Like people don't like to wait. But at the end of the day, the scripture says wait.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's funny because I'm telling you, this die to self thing is real, y'all. Because when you start to think about it like Christ, and you start to actually be Christ-like,
that's right.
It's weird. This week I learned a lot about Christ-like and Jesus.
Okay.
Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Christ-like versus Jesus. Because I'm realizing that what has happened is that, like, people have been, I don't even, and it's funny how people like to say that we've been brainwashed and you learned something different and you just, listen, whatever they would say, however you act is exactly who you are. Simple as that. If you are Christ-like, you're not quick to jump on what happened. You know, if you're Christ-like, you're not quick to find wrong in it. You know, you're just trying to settle a situation. If you're Christ-like, like Brother Rob said, you're not going to walk past the person that looks like they're hungry. If you're Christ-like, you're not going to cross the street when you see the person walking down the street on the same side as you. When you're Christ-like, you will wait in the line. Actually, you might even start talking in the line if you're Christ-like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then there's this Jesus. And it's bothering me because I'm trying to tell you, I have seen some of the craziest stuff this week. And these people call Jesus like every other three words, you know? Like, or have a scripture. I mean the whole litany of the scripture. But it's a Jesus thing. And it's like, I'm not sure if we are saying this thing right, if we're teaching this thing right. Maybe this is why we have the misconceptions of what's going on in our streets right now, because it's a difference between Jesus and Christ-like. I mean, Brother Rob.
Yeah.
I heard you over there now. Now, it's funny because a lot of times people can't understand me. And what I try to tell people is, it's not the fact that I'm not understandable, but you got to be in a certain place where you need to be in order to hear the words that are coming out of my mouth.
There you
because
go. You said it just perfectly
right there. Did I say it right? Because I be confused sometimes because I be thinking, well, why don't you hear me? Because I'm thinking, no. No. Because we do some of the craziest things, and I know it's up in church, and I'm going to say it's up in church because that's that Jesus thing. And we got to understand people trying to figure out why the church is so judgmental.
So let me tell you why it's so judgmental and why they can't hear you. Because
Help me out, bro.
Yeah, sometimes we put our feelings in the wrong places. Sometimes when we should hear, we can't feel. And when we can't feel, we can't see. So if you can't put yourself in my shoes or your shoes, we don't know where you're coming from. We can't hear where you're coming from when we're looking for something. It's just like, you know, where way back in, you know, the day where they said before they had cell phones and, you know, all the technology that we had today, they says, okay, if somebody's coming at us, okay, we're looking for an attack. If somebody's coming at us, put a light on. If it's one by sea or two by land, light it. But right now, if we go by that same technology, what if somebody's coming from the air? What if somebody's coming above us? And so what's happening to a lot of people right now is that we are so behind in where we need to be at that we don't know what senses that we need to use. So then now that we're in the church and we're ministering to people, and this is basically what you're doing, Sister Adrian. You're ministering to people, but they're not hearing you. But you have to understand that Jesus had patience. Jesus had so much patience that he let even his disciples, he let them go down to where they thought they were faltering, and then he brought them back. When he said, ye of little faith, ye only just need the faith of a mustard seed. Okay, so now that means basically when we break that down is that if you have no faith in me, then that means this is not what you should be. This is not what you are part of. But if you have a faith of a mustard seed, which is so small, which means that if you trust me just a little bit, just the tiniest bit, just take the tiniest bit of what I'm saying or what I'm trying to do, then guess what? We can get somewhere. And that's where we fail to realize that from one voice that we're hearing, and we hear the multitude of voices, that we can't concentrate on the one voice that is focusing on what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, it only takes the faith of a mustard seed for us to muster. And that faith of the mustard seed takes so little. And you say, oh, mustard seed is so small, so tiny. But when you put that faith somewhere, and you can start small. Everybody starts up from the bottom to the top. If you put your feet in someone's shoes and you try to see their views and you try to understand, then that's where it starts from. Okay? And if they can't see what's going on from the bottom before it gets to the top, then they are ye of little faith. But those that have, you know, much faith in the works and what they do, those are the ones that comes up from a mustard seed to an oak tree. We have to understand and realize that we just can't just stop and keep our thoughts in a box. We have to open up, because guess what? For every box, nobody's going to want to sit there and look at a box that's not open. Nobody's going to sit there and say, hey, oh, wow, I've got a nice little box here. Open the box up.
That's right. And never went inside.
You never know if it's a gift, and somebody says, oh, okay, well, you know what? If it could be a gift, it could be a curse. But guess what? Everything that's a gift could always turn into a curse. It depends on how we look at it and how we view it and how we see it and how we use it. Because guess what? Everybody that also had, you know, an apple orchard didn't always want to sell apple. They may wanted to have lemons, so they could sell lemonade. But guess what? But everybody can't sell lemonade. Everybody can't stand on the sand and say, I got the sweetest lemons. And can't nobody ever, you know, I'm going to tell you something. One person that I always, you know, thought was kind of crazy was a guy that had cranberries. And the guy that had cranberries, at one time, like about 5 years ago, you had cran apples, cran lemons, cran. This guy cranked out everything about cranberries. Guy was in, you know, knee deep in cranberries. Saying, we got the best cranberries. And next thing you know, I seen cranberry this, cranberry that. But you know what he did? He said, listen, I got an orchard full of cranberries, and I'm going to make sure that no matter what I do, I'm going to spread the news about cranberry. And that's how we do about the gospel and Jesus. If we had that same attitude with that guy that turned everything cranberry, we can turn everything Jesus. We can turn everything over to the Lord. We can do that. All we have to do is apply ourselves and add that onto it. Like I said, the guy made cran apples. He made cranberry juice. He made cran this, cran that. It was just cranberries everywhere, all over the place. He even started making commercials. So how good was cranberries?
He hated cranberries. Look, and at the beginning, he hated cranberries because they used to just get all over everything. And every day they would come in and there'd be cranberries on their feet. And every day they'd be looking and say, you know, these cranberries are really irking me. And I don't know what I'm going to do with all these cranberries.
Yes.
And one day.
Yes.
One day. Because that's how it be, y'all. It be the thing that bothers you the most. The thing that you say, you know, why I don't want to keep doing this. I don't like doing this. That is
probably
the thing that you're going to end up in for the rest of your life. I ain't gonna mess you up. I'm not gonna mess you up. I'm not gonna tell anybody not to live their life, because at the end of the day, it is a choice to be made. And everything is not always going to be good, but that's why they say all things work together. So you got to understand that the first bad thing that you see is not a run thing, but it's almost kind of like, where does your anchor hold? What did you learn? Did you learn anything about it? Do you know how to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you need to know how to get to the Bible? Do you know where your rock is? That kind of stuff. Do you know where the game book is? You know what I mean? Do you know where the playbook is? Like, we've been playing this thing, but when you have to go in the locker room, are you ready? Like, do you have your speech together? You know, can you go back out and put your team together? But it's funny because Brother Rogers said a whole lot in that. But listen, it's easy how to, I'm going to put it in this words, and then I'm going to say two things that we've heard for many and many a day, but I'm going to put it right into context. Now, what the devil means for good, I mean, what the devil means for evil, God will work it for your good. People be like, what does that mean? It, whatever the situation may be, because like Brother Rob said, some of them are good, some of them are bad. You really don't know, because sometimes you be thinking that it's really, really good, and it turns out to be the worst thing ever. You know, so the closer and closer and closer you get to God, the closer and closer and closer you get to God, it will open your eyes up to more of an understanding of when the enemy is at attack. So what the devil means for evil, while you're in the word and while you're walking and trying to be diligent with God, it ends up working it out for your good, because what the devil thought you was going to jump right into, because you might have been able to jump back in, you know, back in the day, that used to be your thing. But the day that you pass it up, you know, that is the day that God is actually ready to sit there and really work it for your good. So then you look back at it and you say, oh my God, it goes all the way back to Job. You know, I like to go back to the Job, because Job is your J-O-B. And if you're on your J-O-B, then it'll work out. That's how I say it. Look, if you on your J-O-B, it'll work out. It might not feel like it. It might not look like it. It might not even be so. But as long as you stay on your J-O-B, it's going to work out. Don't listen to what the people say. Don't believe what it really looks and feels like.
That
faith of a mustard seed comes in handy when there's nothing else left but that little seed. If you knew you got that one little seed and you can go and throw it somewhere else, and guess what? It'll be planted and build orchards again. Again. Because that's what God is. He's like an again God. How about the last shall be first, and the first shall be last.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, it didn't matter where my son ended in the class, because he was the third to graduate. How about that? It didn't matter what the numbers say and what the people would say. He was still forced to walk across that stage. And if you look at the website, you see it. He's sitting up there like he's the valedictorian.
That's right.
Like his papa.
Everybody should.
And that's exactly how And that's exactly how we should believe it to be so. But it takes faith. I like that because, you know, in B Block, I say the whosoever wills. And whosoever will is important because you could be anybody. You could be doing anything. You could be anywhere. But
that's right.
Whosoever will believe. If you believe it to be so, if you think that you know, I say get the word because that's when you start to look into it. The minute that you think that you know, you want to go and you need to get more. The more you get, the more you know. The more understanding you get, the more you'll be able to help the next person. Because remember, it's never about you. People get caught up in that. You know, I listen to people, and I listen to people, and they talk and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, I'm so glad that somebody told me a long time ago, 10 years ago almost, to be exact, you know, that this thing really is not about you, honey. I just need you to know that you were the strongest person that God could give it to in the midst of all the people that it's for. You were the one that he chose. I just looked at him as if to say, well, I didn't want it.
Right.
But I can imagine how many people are out there right now that says the same thing I said. I didn't want it. They didn't want anything to do with it. And then they had like a whole Jonah experience where whatever kind of a whale it was that ate you up, that swallowed you up, got me. People can't take. It's funny because people can't wrap their hands around what happens in the Bible. Like they can't put their minds on it. And every time that somebody is like struggling with something, I kind of chuckle because that's how you know that God is really working in it.
That's
because anything that you really,
right.
really can't wrap your mind around would say that, not that it's not true, but that's when your faith comes in. That's when you say, okay, well, do I believe this? We have to be careful because we live a life that tells us to believe the reality, believe the not real, the, you know, that phony reality that they're showing us, instead of having faith in what you believe to be so. Because, see, one thing I do know about faith is you really can't have faith in something bad. If
right.
you got faith in something bad, you got to check yourself. And I mean that, and I mean that very, very sincerely. And some people don't even realize that they say it to be bad. Oh, like, you know, it'll never work. We gonna try to get it together, but this is not gonna really work. Them people ain't ever gonna get, like, I be thinking, oh, what do you pray
yes.
for?
Yes.
Like, what are you asking? Oh, you know, them kids, they ain't never gonna get right. They just don't wanna listen. They just don't do this and they do. And I'm thinking, my God, do you hear yourself? But I guess that's why Jesus is so important. Or I don't want to say Jesus. How about that? I want to say being Christ-like is so important. And the reason why I'm telling you, because there's like a thing going on. I don't know. That might be a D-Block. That might be D-Block Thursday, y'all. Be
no,
ready for
no,
next Thursday.
No.
I'm saying now, I think I'm going to have to go there.
Don't confine that.
Jesus
too,
versus
like,
Christ, man. Jesus versus Christ. What's up?
No,
Jesus versus Christ,
that.
I'm telling you.
Look.
I'm telling you. It's on me. It's so right now, man.
Yeah.
It's so right now because at the end of the day, you gotta know this thing for yourself. And they got it so messed up and so blemished that you don't know who you wanna go with. You don't know what you're talking about. But God, I can tell you right now. If you out there, you are listening right now today, and you have a question, and you're trying to figure out where your anchor is, Yes, at the name of Jesus, demons will flee. We can be healed at the name of Jesus. Yes.
Hallelujah.
But if you walking past people and not speaking, that is not Jesus. No. If you acting like you can't get to church fast enough because you got to sing and you got to be there and you got your makeup on and you ready and all that other stuff and you not stopping for people in stoplights and all that, that's not Jesus.
No.
What we got to know is that God loved us so much that even in the midst of all of this craziness, this is exactly what he came down here for. This is exactly why he was born by a virgin. This is exactly why he did exactly what he did. And Jesus walked this earth. He had not a pick in sight.
Yeah.
He handled everyone accordingly, according to what God said. That's Christ-like.
Amen.
Oh, man. Oh, man. When we go to Christ-like, then you understand that why you're in this situation and while you're in the situation, if you look up, Jesus is there. He's in it. Whoever the person may be, whatever happens, know that that is Christ right there coming to save you. The question is, are you going to grab his hand? Because he's not sitting there going, he's not going to throw the lifeline. If you don't look like you need help. And I mean, it's right. Funny because half the time you look like you need help and he's watching you and he's ready for the call. But we got so much more to do and so much ideas and so many other plans and all this other stuff before we just call on him. The reason why we walk around as believers is because the day we asked God to come into our lives, it was the best decision that we ever made. I'm not saying that we always did right, and I'm not saying that we moved into the churches, and I'm not saying that everybody's preaching and teaching and everything. But what I am saying is that everybody understands who the Savior is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the day that you need to call on someone and they are not there. That's when you say, God, I know I love you, and I know you love me. And right now, I'm really asking for your help. Trust and believe, if you ask in his name, he will give it to you. He might not turn around and give it to you the next day. You might have to do some work to get it. But trust and believe, if you put it out there, he's definitely going to grab it. And if you're out there listening tonight and you do not know God, and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, please repeat after me, or not even repeat after me, but say something in the gist of, Father God, I need your help. I am a sinner, but I believe in your blood. I believe in the sacrifice. I believe in the burial. I believe that you died for me. And I know you got up. And it's in the getting up that we learn to live. Brother Rob, what
yes.
I would say, before we even do the announcement, that God is extremely good.
Yes, he is.
And if for nothing else, to send the graduates off on the greatest way that I would know how, what I would say is just never give up. Never give up. Never give up. And if you got to, Just never give up. Don't do it.
Yeah.
And if you want to, call PKN. Get me, get somebody, because we will walk you through that thing. And if we got to come to campus, we'll come to campus. Don't give up in anything that you do. Never give up. If you want it and you believe for it, never give up. Now, if you realize you hit the wall 16 times because of something like that, maybe God is trying to tell you something different.
Yeah.
Then you got to refocus yourself and figure out, why don't I never want to give this up? Maybe because I'm looking at it wrong. And then when you realize that, guess what? It won't be a never give up because you just won't even ever remember it, believe it or not. But I'm sorry, that's something completely different. But that Jesus versus Christ, I'm on that right now. I don't know how we're going to do that, but that's something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Brother Rob?
Yes. Sister Adrian, wow, you know, said so much. But, you know, to the graduates, let me just say this to the graduates. You know, this is the very best and the very most important part of your life where you're sitting there and you sit in the formulations of the dreams, and you know your dreams, where your dreams clash with reality, and this is where you actually find out where you actually stand in the world. But don't forget that no matter what kind of roadblocks you meet or you reach or whatever kind of resistance, always remember there's always going to be some kind of resistance or some kind of persistence and what you're trying to do in life and what you're trying to accomplish. And if what you're truly doing or you set out to do and you really want to accomplish, don't let any deterrent stop you as far as the Word of God. The Word of God is always going to guide you. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that you understand that there is a part of you greater than what you want to accomplish and what you want to do and what you want to achieve. And just make sure that those same things don't clash. You want to make sure the Word of God is in your heart. And like I said, you're very young, and this is the formulating times, because these are the times you're going to realize once you hit your 40s and your late 30s is when you're going to realize that the choices you've made right now today are going to be the choices if you said, I made a bad decision and now I have to make up for that. But guess what? God is a God of many chances, because I have done that. I've made many mistakes. I've made many bad choices. But the one good thing that God has done for me, He's provided me and He's nurtured me and He's coached me along the way. And sometimes He gave me a little hard nudge, but I've got to where, you know, I need to be, you know, as far as with Christ in my life. And the same thing can happen to you. So the best thing you can do is just, you know, follow your dreams. And when you get that nudge going in another direction, just follow it. And with that being said, I'm going to do the announcements real quick and we'll get back to our program. This is Product Purpose Kingdom Network, and we thank you for joining us, no matter where you're at in the world, whether you're calling us online or via phone. We thank you so much for supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And if you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly appreciate that. Also, if you want to tune in for a word of inspiration, you can go on to Anchor.com or Anchor FM. We can hear a morning word of inspiration. And we thank you so much for those that participate, and we thank you so much. Also, if you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts or any of our shows that you missed in its entirety, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can simply hit the show name or the host name and you can hear that show in its entirety. Also, if you have an iPhone, and I'm working on the Android version of it, but if you have a Apple iPhone, there's going to be a purple icon that says podcast. You can hit that, And then you can like us on the podcast. You can hear each and every one of our broadcasts, whether past or previous. And we thank you so much for doing that. And with that being said, that's going to be the announcement, and we're going to just go ahead and resume our show for tonight.
Okay, well, you need to hurry up and get that for the Android, because I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, what happened? iPhone, what? I'm
well,
hyped.
You know what?
I didn't even have
well,
an iPhone.
When I first made the announcement about the Apple version of Wii and this hit that, the next response I got was, what about Android? And I was like, oh, wow. So, you know, I'm working on it. And so everybody that has an Android phone, please be patient with me. I'll find a workaround. I'll find an option. And guess what? We'll all will be connected. Don't worry about it. I'm on a job.
I like the fact that you said I'm on the job. J-O-B is going to work.
Yes.
Yes. Listen, y'all, I'm telling you, okay, the best thing I can say is it's important to love on the people that you come in contact with every day. It's important to love on the people that are in your family. It's important to love on the people, I'd say again, that you come in contact with every day. And when I say that, I mean the people that you come in contact with every day. If you go to a store, if you pump gas, you know, every day, the things you do every day, if you pay attention to the people that are in your contact every day, your world becomes a little bit greater. And when I mean that, if you just focus on the people that you come in contact with every day, those people are getting that seed. And guess what? That seed is then going to kind of spread off of them. Because I don't know if you ever seen people that are really mad and like really just look evil. If you smile at those types of people, you really break their whole entire of wherever they are.
Yes.
And the only reason why I know this is because I do it. They don't look like it can, it doesn't look like it should be done, or it doesn't look like it could be done. But trust and believe in the world that we live in today. It is time for us as believers to really, really, really start to set this mark and set ourselves different, set ourselves apart from the world that we live in. We got to understand that we are that important. And there's a reason, especially if you are a part of the PKN team. If you're on the PKN network any day of the week, there is a job that we have to start to really, really focus on. I know you got your other job and stuff. I call that work. That's how you want to get your money. And that's work. But there's something that you can get while you're on your J-O-B, and that's almost called like manna. Like no matter what, you're going to be all right. God will provide. You know, a lot of people don't realize it until it gets really, really, really bad. But sometimes you need really, really, really bad to just see where you stand with God, to see where your relationship really lies. Who are your friends? Who are you truly connected to? It's the PKN newsroom, and it was the end of June. Summertime is coming. Summertime is here. Shout out to my brother. He turned 36 on the 21st, the first day, official day of summer. Please be safe. The next news, I don't want to come on here talking about all the craziness that done happened.
That's
Brother Rob, it's always been great. It's always real. And we'll see you in what, 4 weeks? We'll see you next month. Put it that way.
Well, you
good night.
Well, guys, you'll probably see me next Saturday, which is my next scheduled show. And you'll see, or you'll hear from Miss Adrian, Misunderstanding Allen, on the following Thursday, which is upcoming. So please feel free to join.
Jesus versus Christ. Y'all better tell somebody. Jesus versus Christ. I'm on it.
And tell somebody to tell somebody on top of that. Like you say, teach one, reach one. And, you know, with love of Christ, you know, we love you. We're praying for you. And we hope that, you know, we reach and help someone. And with that, we're out. Mic drop. Boop.
Good night.
Jesus bless. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose. Never want to see me down. I will not lose.